This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. For 40 years, Chuck Lavelle has played keyboards for the likes of Eric Clapton, the Rolling Stones, the Allman Brothers Band, the Indigo Girls, Montgomery Gentry, the list goes on. But despite his busy recording and touring schedule, Lavelle has another passion, the environment. He is a longtime tree farmer and the co-founder of the Mother Nature Network website. And he recently launched a show called America's Forests with Chuck Lavelle to draw more attention to their importance. And so this sound... isn't a sound you'd expect to hear from the keyboardist. Lavelle was in Wisconsin last week filming footage for an upcoming segment for America's Forests, and he helped the City of Milwaukee forestry team take down the massive tree you just heard fall. The tree was then loaded into a truck and delivered to a sawmill, and the logs will be turned into something to commemorate Lavelle's visit to Milwaukee. After the tree came down, Lavelle took some time out before heading to the Kettle Moraine to talk with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bentz.
So how's Wisconsin?
Yeah, great. We've had a fantastic week. We've shot so many things. It's almost like a blur at this point, but it's been really, really successful, very good. Successful.
So what are some of the experiences that stand out for you at this point?
Oh, there's been so many. We're at Aldo Leopold's Foundation and floated down the Wisconsin River with the executive director Buddy there.
Yes,
that was a great,
fabulous.
Yeah, great experience. We're doing urban forestry here. We were at a beautiful woodworker's shop outside of Madison, and this gentleman, Paul, was making the most incredible furniture you can imagine. It was so great because he takes these trees like we're taking down here today, and rather than send them to a landfill and just let them burn up or rot, he makes beautiful things out of them. And that was a really interesting one. We went to the Menominee Reservation and saw their sawmill there and saw some of the forestry practices that they're doing. So just, we could go on and on, but those are some of the highlights.
What came first for you, music or forestry?
Definitely music. People ask me, how in the world did you get into this? And I always answer, it's my wife's fault. Because
plantation.
Well, you bet. And Rose Lane and I have been married 46 years now. And when we first started dating, and she said, "Well, come meet the family," because we were getting serious. And I said, "Well, tell me about your family." She said, "They're farmers." So we go out there, and I'm a little nervous. I'm a long-haired hippie boy meeting I've been dating the farmer's daughter. I'm about to meet the farmer. But they were so gracious to me. They welcomed me into the family with open arms. And I began to realize through time and going out there and spending time with them on the land how dedicated and passionate they were about land issues, about farming, forestry, because they had some forest land as well. So that's how I got into it. And eventually, enrolled in a little correspondence course about forestry when I was touring with the Fabulous Thunderbirds, a little Texas blues band. And that really helped me gain some confidence to start actively managing our place.
What are the trees that you manage? What types?
Well, most of it is what we call southern yellow pine, different species of pine. Loblolly is probably the dominant species. Slash pine is another one. There's been an effort from a lot of landowners like myself in the last probably 20 years to restore the longleaf pine, which is really the dominant pine species from Virginia down to East Texas before European settlement. So that all changed in the landscape through the decades, and now there's an effort to restore the longleaf, and we're part of that.
Fabulous. So how many acres are you managing?
We have about 4,000 acres.
Whoa!
Now.
Whoa! That took me by surprise. Sorry. Wow.
Yeah, we have about 4,000 acres now. It started with an inheritance of about 1,000 to Rose Lane from her grandmother. And that's when, you know, we realized, boy, oh boy, we got to learn how to do this stuff. And it was a diversified farm. There were cattle, there was row crops, and there was some forestry. I realized rather quickly, if I wanted to pursue my career in music, that cattle and row crops were going to take up a lot of time day to day, and or else you got to hire somebody. And, you know, we didn't want to do that. So forestry fit the bill, and there was a personal connection for me. Where does that wonderful thing that's given me so much joy and a great career come from? And of course, it comes from the resource of wood. So as do many, many other musical instruments. Without wood, there would be hardly any music. We'd just be singing a cappella.
How did your series now come about? Did Bruce come to you and say, hey, Chuck, great idea here?
Actually, Bruce invited me to a little get-together that was centered around his efforts with the Capitol Christmas tree, and it was a little bit of a brainstorming session. I already had an idea for a program. My idea was love of the land, and it would cover, you know, many aspects of people that do things with their land, whether it's forestry or farming or whatever. And the more we talked and the more I thought, well, Chuck, what do you do? And what I do is forestry. So we began to focus on that. Bruce kicked around a lot of titles for the show. We came up, you know, some of them were not usable because they were already taken or they didn't quite make sense. But America's Forests really kind of spoke to both of us, and we agreed on that. And Bruce did a tremendous amount of legwork to bring together funders from all over. You got the U.S. Forest Service, you got some private funding, some foundation funding to get the first episode done, which we did in Oregon. And the second episode was in Colorado, where Bruce lives, and so that was helpful. He brought together a lot of folks to get that done. The third episode we shot in South Carolina. That will be viewed sometime in the next probably 45, 60 days. Now we're doing Wisconsin. We have California coming up, and we're on a roll.
So this seems it couldn't come at a better time. I mean, obviously our forests are critical. We've seen what's happened in the rainforest. Mm. You've got both the industry and the environment. I mean, it's just sort of everything rolled into a big, important package.
Well, it really is. You know, when you think about what trees and forests do for us, they give us materials to make books and magazines and newspapers and packaging products. They give us materials to build our homes, our schools, our churches, our offices. They clean our air. They clean our water. You mentioned what's going on at the Amazon basin now, which is just dreadful. This is the lungs of the earth that is on fire and burning, which is not a good thing. And so it's a good time for everyone to consider what trees and forests do for us. You know, here we are in an urban setting. They shade, give us aesthetic pleasure to walk amongst them in our parks and so forth. To me, there's no more important natural resource than trees and forests.
So has anybody here in Wisconsin offered to create your first urban wood keyboard?
No, we haven't gotten that far yet.
I can't believe it.
Who knows? Maybe something will come up. But we truly have enjoyed our week here in Wisconsin. One of the things that's been so remarkable is just the natural beauty of this state, driving from place to place, city to city, the farmland, the corn, the soybeans, the forests. It's such a beautiful, diverse landscape, and I have really gotten a lot of pleasure out of that.
So among your many interests, you also co-founded what the most visited environmental website in the world?
Yes, indeed, and we're very proud of it.
That's not hyperbole, that's the real thing.
No, that's actually true. My partner in that enterprise is a gentleman named Joel Babbitt. Joel was a public relations and advertising guru. He represented a lot of big companies. Came to me and he said, you know, the internet is exploding. By the way, that was 10 years ago. Okay, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary now. So in 2009, the internet was really exploding. He said, all of my clients want to get their messages about what they're doing for the environment, very positive messages, very positive things that they're doing to make these changes. And I don't know where to put them on the internet. So I said, well, Joel, there's Tree Hugger, there's Grist. There was a few websites, but they were small and kind of mom and pop type things. And he looked at me and he said, is there an opportunity here? Do you think if we could put something together, and if you agree, then I'll quit my job. He was president of a huge firm out of Atlanta, and he said, I think I can get the funding. He did, and we launched in 2009, kind of on a wing and a prayer. And within 2 years, we were probably in the top 20. And within 4 years, we were in the top 10. And now we are the most visited environmental website in the world, outside of maybe a government site like EPA or something. But we're very proud of what we're doing. We get about 5 to 6 million hits a month. We actually bought the Tree Hugger site, so we own that now. And it's been a great journey.
So you have lots of music yet to make and choose to raise, but down the road, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, what's interesting to me is that working the landscape, working the land, and making music both offer the opportunity to leave a legacy. Recorded music will be around virtually forever, and I've been very blessed to be on some records of significance that have done very well. It's been a lot of fun for me. It's been a great journey. And the same with the landscape. You know, we started planting trees ourselves in 1981, and we continue to do that. Some of the trees that we planted back then are now mature and forest land, and you have wildlife engaging underneath them. And it's just been a great, great experience for me.
So thank goodness you met your wife, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Love you, Rosie.
WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Benz spoke with rock and roll keyboardist and environmentalist and tree farmer Chuck Lavelle. Lavelle and Bruce Ward produced the newly launched TV show America's Forest with Chuck Lavelle. The segment featuring Wisconsin, which includes Milwaukee's urban forestry program, as well as a stop to see Linden Sculpture Garden's magnificent trees, will air sometime in January. There's a link to the show and to the Mother Nature Network website at WUWM.com.